Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Here we are. Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, April the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Tom Baker, your host for today. And in fact, today is the last time Law and Gospel will be on KFUO this week. Why? Because Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the Share-a-thon. And we certainly encourage you to phone in and contribute to AM 850 KFUO as we reach out to many more people with the message of Jesus Christ. So you'll have that opportunity. In fact, I believe I'm going to be in here on Friday to help out in raising funding. So we're looking forward to that. We'll be back next Monday taking a look at the lessons for the third Sunday in Easter. So what are we going to be looking at right now without a live program until Monday? This is Insight Wednesday. And what I decided to do is to give a portion of the Easter sermon. Now, unfortunately, a sermon, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, probably at the most. So you really don't get the opportunity to share everything that a pastor might look at when he's preparing a sermon. So we're going to take that opportunity today to do some tidbits. The text that we used for Easter Sunday was an interesting one. But let me ask you this question first. What religion do you think this passage is found in? Everyone who fears God and works righteousness is accepted by him. Wow. Who do you think that? Who do you feel, I should say, what religion would be saying that? It certainly doesn't sound like Christianity, does it? You have to fear God, you have to work righteousness, then you're finally accepted by him? Well, once more, this was part of the readings for Easter Sunday from the Holy Bible. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. So I asked, who would disagree with this passage? That if you want to be accepted by Jesus, you better fear him and work righteousness. Well, nobody's going to disagree with that because it's in the Bible. But why would they choose this reading for Easter Sunday? Remember, we're following a 3-year system of readings. And this is part of the reading from the first lesson. During Easter, it's from the book of Acts, not from the Old Testament. One would think that on the greatest festival of the Christian church, celebrating the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead, you wouldn't want to have a passage that says, well, you'll be accepted by him if you fear him and work righteousness. We need to look at the context. The passage is from Acts and is part of the witness that Peter delivered to the Roman centurion Cornelius and his family. Now, you know, there was no love lost between Jew and Gentile in Jesus' day, and Cornelius was Roman. Gentiles were often considered infidels unless they converted to the Jewish faith, and even then, they were still not permitted to come into the temple proper to worship, being classified with women, children, the sick, the infirm. Peter had had a vision, though, on a roof. A large blanket descended from heaven, upon which was unclean food. Unclean food that according to the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, these are not to be eaten. But three times God told Peter, eat this. Now, what did Peter learn from this? God said very clearly, what I have declared to be clean, do not consider to be unclean. And it's then that he met with Cornelius. This is a tremendous lesson in the book of Acts to indicate that whether you are clean or not clean, all depends on God's regard of you. You see, this is part of the goal that I have in every sermon. There's two things I do. Well, there's about 13. But the one thing is I try to find a passage that contradicts Lutheran theology at face value. And this certainly seems to do that. That you're accepted by God if you fear him and work righteousness. That's the first thing I try and find. And then I always do a question that a lot of people will get wrong, because it seems like it shouldn't be wrong if it's based on the Bible. What we have here is Peter learning a lesson that God has declared even Gentiles as clean, even though they don't follow the ceremonial laws, etc. You see, the ceremonial laws were put into place by God as laws to remind you of your need to be cleansed. Every one of the ceremonial laws is kind of a law of atonement, how to become one with God, how to have a right relationship with him. Now, they never forgave sins, according to the book of Hebrews. But they did provide an insight into a person's unworth for getting to heaven. And so the ceremonial laws had a very good purpose in getting a person to understand, I cannot save myself. I need salvation from outside of me. Now, to increase your confusion, even though Acts chapter 10 says that whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him, listen to what Peter says in verse 43, that whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Now, that's good news. But how does that fit in the same passage that speaks about being accepted by God if you fear him and work righteousness? It doesn't seem to make any sense. And why at Easter? You know, during Lent, we preached on the word from the cross, it is finished. That's what Jesus says. That's Good Friday. The question comes to mind that if Jesus said on Good Friday, it is finished, how come we still need an Easter Sunday? I have a good friend of mine who's making a hope chest out of cherry wood on the outside and cedar wood on the inside for each of his six grandchildren. I believe it was about after 4 months he finished the first one with five more to go. Which day do you think he and his wife most enjoyed? The day he finished making the hope chest, or the day when he and his wife presented it to the first granddaughter? Well, certainly the day he finished was indeed joyous, but it hardly compared to the joy found on the face of the little girl when she received the gift made for her with her own initials inscribed on it. You see, there is a difference then between a work being finished and the work being delivered. You might order a piece of furniture, and it has to be handmade because it has to fit with what you have in the house. Well, you're not that happy when the worker phones and says, by the way, we have finished it. You want it to be received in your house. That's when you're really happy. At the foot of the cross on that Good Friday, few people were aware of the true significance of that death until Easter Sunday. Well, the mission of the Son of God to pay for our sins by death was truly finished on Good Friday. It laid the groundwork for both the work of the Father and the Holy Spirit. because his resurrection from the dead was very clearly indicating that what he had said, it is finished, was indeed complete. But we're still stuck with this confusion. Why then does Peter speak about fearing God and working righteousness in order to be accepted by God? Peter's words, you know, a lot of people today teach that we are not accepted by God, but instead that we need to accept God. We do that into our hearts, maybe by saying a prayer of invitation or some such nonsense. The text, though, in the Bible is clear so many times. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." We do not do the accepting because we are unbelievers. Why would you accept something you don't even believe in? Well, maybe you come to believe in it, then you accept it. No. If you come to believe in it, then you have already been accepted by God because he has put faith in your heart. God accepts us. But now comes the question. We're daily sinners. How can we be acceptable to him? Well, I know this may sound strange, but do you know what is worse than sinning by thought, word, and deed every day? What is worse is refusing to confess it. Some time ago, I had a phone call on the radio here by a woman insisting that the way to keep fellowship with God was to be completely obedient. I asked her if she was sinless, and she could think of no sins at all. How sad that she was unaware of actually sinning right then and there. For the Bible reveals, if we say we have no sin, we are liars. You see, Christ died to forgive our sins. But the work of that crucified Jesus goes on in our lives each and every day. As we confess our sins, and we know, even though we are faithless to him, he is faithful to those of his children to forgive our sins. So what is this about fearing God and working righteousness in order to be accepted by God? Why does Easter talk about that? And what does it reveal about that requirement? Well, that's a requirement that is fulfilled in the same way that the requirement to have our sins forgiven is fulfilled. You see, Easter is God's exclamation mark that the payment for your sins was accomplished by him without any help, without any cooperation, and without any contribution from you. The total credit for your salvation is the work of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. As the book of Hebrews says, Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation. He initiates it, he keeps us in the faith, and he finishes it. Well, we speak oftentimes of being justified in the area of sanctification. Sanctification, what's that? Well, theology is the art of making distinctions. And both sanctification and justification are the work of God. Well, what's first of all justification? That is that moment when God declares you to be righteous in his sight. Not because of your works, but because through faith you believe the promises in connection to the works of Jesus Christ. God came to Abraham. Isaac, that's going to be your child. Didn't happen till he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, way past childbearing age. But Abraham believed, and guess what? The Bible says, and it was declared to him as righteousness. I don't know if we can make this clear than what I'm about to say, but the big difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world is that when every other religion in the world talks about righteousness, it is always talking about works, obedience to commandments, obedience to laws. Whereas in Christianity, nobody becomes righteous in God's sight by works. You become righteous in God's sight through faith. And what is the object of faith? In other words, when you say, I believe, how do you end that sentence? Do you believe that Jesus existed? Well, yes, but that doesn't save you. What saves is believing in the promises connected to the historical events of Jesus' birth, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. There are promises connected to those. And through faith, you believe those promises, and God looks at you and says, oh, you're righteous. I don't know how we can underscore that more strongly. 500th anniversary of the Reformation is here. That's the message, that you are not righteous by your own deeds. Now, can you ever do a righteous deed? Of course you can, but it's not in the area of justification. It's not in the area of when you become saved. It's in the area of your response to being totally saved. And that response to being totally saved, that can be what we call fruit of the Holy Spirit. You actually can do good works that are motivated by your love for Jesus Christ, but they're never perfect because you still got the old Adam that always has a wrong motivation in doing anything you do because it's the sinful part of you. It's the struggle that Paul had in Romans 7. The things I want to do, I'm unable to do. The things I want to stop from doing, I'm always doing. So how do you get around that? You don't. Jesus gets around that. Remember when Jesus entered the room on Easter evening with the disciples cowering in fear? What were the first words he said to them? Peace be with you. What was that talking about? Was that saying that now that you are Christian, now that I've risen from the dead, you're going to have peace in your life? You're going to have a really good life. Everything you want, you'll get. You won't have any pain. You won't have any suffering. No, that's not the peace he was speaking of. He was talking about the peace that is now between you and God the Father. Where God was properly in wrath against your sin, and therefore you should fear him. Now that Jesus has paid for that sin, you no longer have the necessity to fear God. You have a loving God who has a multitude of promises given for you. That's what Easter is really all about. That what had happened on Good Friday is properly fulfilled. And that God has, on Easter, shown you that what Jesus had done Good Friday is sufficient for your salvation. So, theology is the art of making distinctions. We must distinguish between justification and sanctification, which leads us back to the first part of the sermon where we were talking about Acts 10. Every person who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Guess what? You do fear God. Remember Luther's meanings of the commandments. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But how are you working righteousness? You're doing so because you're wearing Christ's robe of righteousness. When God looks at you, he sees that robe of righteousness on you, and that is not your own personal works of righteousness, which you do in the life of sanctification. It's referring to the righteousness of Christ that now covers you. It's not at all unusual that when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover themselves with some kind of plant. which, of course, didn't last very long in the heat of the day. So what God did is he killed animals and used their skin to cover Adam and Eve. That's what Jesus Christ has done for you. In the cross, at the resurrection, in baptism, you receive the gift of the covering of his robe of righteousness. That robe of righteousness is specifically mentioned in the Bible, for example, in Isaiah, in Revelation. But it is clearly taught in the epistles and in the gospels that you are righteous in God's sight because of the blood of the Lamb. Remember, you receive the blood of the Lamb and your robe is white. Purity. So, on Easter Sunday, we ought not be surprised that we can find a text somewhere in the three readings that appears to contradict Lutheran theology. In fact, I find them every week. But upon closer examination, either by looking at the original languages or by understanding the context, and the big context is theology is the art of making distinctions, we come to a realization this is no contradiction in the Bible at all, because there's only one author, and that's God. And through taking a closer look at the context or the original languages, we come to an understanding that this is in sync with all the rest of the Bible. Yes, on Easter Sunday, God recognizes that you fear him, but he also recognizes that you are righteous in his sight, and that's why you're accepted by him. There was only one person after the fall of man into sin who was accepted by God because of his righteousness, and that one person, that one human being, was Jesus Christ. Now, how many times did the Father say to him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? And that pleasure from God came about because Jesus was totally obedient to the Father. He was obedient to him all the way to the cross. And what was his motivation? His love for you. That's why it's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it doesn't continue that whoever lives a good life will be accepted by him. No. It continues, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. And what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, what does it mean to believe in anybody? If you believe in anybody, you are saying that this person in whom I believe, I trust. And what does that mean? You don't trust he's a human being. You don't trust he has two legs and two arms. You trust his word. He's a man of integrity. He keeps his promises. That's what the whole Reformation is about. Salvation does not come about because we start to do good works and we're accepted by God, because God says, now you're righteous. Salvation comes about for a very simple reason, that God declares you to be righteous. And why? Because you trust the promises connected to the works of Jesus Christ? It makes no sense. And that's why Christianity can never be reasonably proven. It just doesn't make any sense. It goes against everything that appears to work in the temporal realm. But in the spiritual realm, it makes total sense. So we live by a blind faith in the words of Scripture, knowing full well that it doesn't matter what the world says in regard to morality or immorality, God's word is true. It doesn't matter what the world says in regard to how the world was created. No, it was created in 6 24-hour days. That's what God says. that finishes the discussion. And it doesn't matter that people say nobody can rise from the dead, that's impossible. No. There were a number who rose from the dead, but the most important resurrection was none other than Jesus Christ. This is a message that a lot of people still don't know or understand. And that is why we would really encourage you during the next 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, to phone in and contribute to KFUO, the Share-a-thon. We won't be live again until Monday, at which time we'll be taking a look at the third Sunday of Easter and its readings. But until then, we believe we'll be coming in on Friday morning to help with the Share-a-thon. But outside of that, if you want to get a hold of me, my email address is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That's lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. And we'll be back, God willing, on Monday to continue our discussion of law and gospel and see what passage appears to contradict Lutheran theology. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.